Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm reading from Acts chapter 16. I would like to read verses 30 and 31. Well, beginning in verse 29, this is said of the Philippian jailer. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, they gave him a very clear, definitive, distinct answer. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." I've entitled this message, "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" Now, have you ever asked that question to yourself or someone else? What must I do to be saved? If someone came to you and said to you, "What must I do to be saved?" would you know how to answer that question from the Scriptures? What must I do to be saved? And notice he didn't say, "What must I do to save myself?" He said, "What must I do to be saved?" That's in the passive voice. What must I do to be saved? This man knew he was not saved, and he knew he could not save himself. What must I do to be saved? And then Paul gives this very distinct answer: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now let's look at the setting of this man asking this question. Now Paul and Silas had been arrested for preaching the gospel, for casting a demon out of a woman. And we read in verse 23, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer," this is the man who ended up asking that question, "to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks." This man mistreated, if anything, Paul and Silas. And here they are in prison with their feet in stocks. And then we read in verse 25, and there's something so beautiful about this. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise to God." Now, they knew that the situation they were in was only because God had purposed it. All things are of God, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. And they were praising God at this time. You know, the Lord had them put into the prison because one of His elect was there, and His elect is going to hear the gospel. This jailer was an elect sinner, elected by God, chosen unto salvation, and he must hear the gospel. So here they are in pain at midnight, praying and singing praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. But there was someone else who didn't hear. It was this jailer. We know as we read on in this passage of Scripture that he was fast asleep. Now we read in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, he had been fast asleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. He was getting ready to commit suicide, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now, this Philippian jailer, while everybody else was listening to Paul and Silas pray and sing praises unto God, he was fast asleep. He didn't have any interest. He was perfectly satisfied with things the way they were. Now, God sends an earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. The doors opened up. God shook this man's foundation. And when he woke up, he assumed that all the prisoners would escape. But amazingly, not one of them did. But when he thought they had escaped, he was going to kill himself. You see, he was responsible for these prisoners. And if they escaped, he would be held responsible. He couldn't say, well, I couldn't prevent it because the earthquake and the jails were open and they all escaped. No, he knew he would be held responsible. Now, what this lets me know is when someone finds out that they're a sinner, they know that their sin is all their fault. I don't blame somebody else. This man could have said, well, I couldn't help it. The foundations were shaken. No, he knew he was going to be held responsible, and there's nothing that he could do to keep himself from being judged. That's why he was going to kill himself. When God reveals to a sinner who they are, they know that they are responsible for their sin. They can't blame mom and dad. They can't blame Adam. They can't blame their circumstances. They can't blame their environment. My sin is all my fault. And they know they can't escape the judgment of God. It's due their sin. They don't have some sense of entitlement that makes them think somehow I'm going to get out of this. Like this man, he was desperate. He knew he was in trouble, and he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now, this was mighty good news to this man, humanly speaking. Not one prisoner had escaped, and he was thinking, how can this be? So we read in verse 29, then he called for a light. That's symbolic. He had been asleep, symbolically dead in sins. Now he's awakened, God shaking his foundation, and he calls for a light. He can't understand how this has happened. He calls for a light, and the scripture says he sprang in. He didn't have to hear an altar call gently being made. He didn't have to be manipulated psychologically to get him to make some kind of move down to the front of the church. He sprang in. He sprang in. Oh, he was in dead interest. He sprang in and came trembling. Oh, the fear of God. And he fell down before Paul and Silas. You see, the Lord had touched this man. And we read in verse 30, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now that is the most important thing a man or woman could ever consider. What must I do to be saved? Now notice the language. He didn't say, how can I get saved? You know, I hear people all the time speaking of salvation, I got saved, or he needs to get saved. The Bible never speaks like that. If you're saved, you know the Lord saved you. You didn't get saved. The Lord saved you. This man knew if he was going to be saved, the Lord would have to save him. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm not saved. Have you ever been not saved? Somebody says, well, I feel like I've always been saved. That's way too long. Have you ever seen the fact that you're not saved, estranged from God, an enemy of God, with no way of your own to make reconciliation? This man knew he was not saved. He knew there was nothing he could do to save himself. And his question is, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, let's talk just for a moment about this thing of being saved. What must I do to be saved? The first question that comes to my mind is, saved from what? Well, the first thing that I need to be saved from is I need to be saved from God. You see, God is holy. God is absolutely just. God is all-powerful. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. My sin is against Him. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You see, my problem is the God of glory. I've sinned against Him. I need to be saved from God. Secondly, I need to be saved from myself. I am my own greatest enemy. I am the problem. You're not the problem. So-and-so's not the problem. God's not the problem in the sense that it's not Him that caused me to be this way. I am the problem. I need to be saved from my sins. You see, I'm a sinner. And notice that language. I want you to listen to me real carefully. I'm not saying I used to be a sinner before God saved me. I'm saying right now, present tense, I am a sinner. And you are too, whether you know it or not, whether you'll admit it or not. You are a sinner. I am, present tense, today, right now, while I'm speaking to you, I am a sinner. Now, what does that mean? Well, I was born into this world with an evil nature. That explains why I am the way I am. I was born dead in trespasses and sins. I was born sinful. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go about as soon as they be born, the scripture says, speaking lies. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born bad. All men were born bad, but I'm just talking about myself right now. I was born bad. Therefore, all I do is sin, because I did it. Somebody says, what about you preaching this message? Listen, anything that has any connection with me is sin, because of my sinful nature. All I do is sin, and I cannot not sin. I can't close my eyes and concentrate and say, I'm going to be holy for 10 seconds. I cannot not sin. Because of the sinfulness of my condition, I can't sit in judgment on anybody about anything. And I'm talking about me right now. Romans 2:1 says, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for you that judgest doest. Present tense, active voice. You that judgest doest the same things. Whatever you're judging somebody for, you're guilty of the very thing you're judging them for. Now, I don't have any claims on God because of my own sinfulness. My sinfulness is my fault. Yes, I was born that way. Yes, all I do is sin. Yes, I cannot not sin. Yes, it's all my fault. Yes, I can't judge anybody for anything. And because of that, I have no claims on God. I cannot save myself. I can't do something to where He owes me salvation. If He let me go to hell, just and holy is His name. I need to be saved from my sin. Now listen to this verse of Scripture. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall. Not He will if, He shall save. Not make savable. Not make salvation a possibility. Not make salvation an offer. He shall save His people from their sins. Now, this thing of being saved, if you want to understand about being saved, listen. You need saved from God. You need saved from yourself. You need saved from your sins. And here we have where the Lord Jesus Christ shall save His people from their sins. Now, what's that mean? That means, first of all, I'm saved from the penalty of my sin. You see, Christ bore those sins. He suffered the penalty of those sins. And God's not going to punish for the same sin twice. If Christ bore the punishment of that sin, I'm not going to have to bear the punishment of that sin. I'm saved from the penalty of sin. I've been saved from the power of sin. You know what that means? There was a time when I could not believe. There was a time when I could not repent. There was a time when I was unable to love God because I was dead in sins. God gave me life. He gave me spiritual life. That's what the new birth is. And now I can do what I formerly could not do. I can believe the gospel. I'm in a state of repentance. I love God now. I didn't used to. I've been saved from the power of sin. And one of these days, praise His holy name, I shall be saved from the presence of sin. I'm not going to be a sinner anymore in my experience. I'm going to stand before God without any experience of even the remembrance of sin. I'm going to be perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now that's salvation. Salvation from sin. From the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. Now, what must I do to be saved? Now we see what being saved is. It's being saved from sin. It's what the Lord Jesus accomplished for His people. But this man asked this question, what must I do to be saved? Now Paul didn't answer him saying, well, there's nothing you can do. Salvation is by grace. That's not the way he answered it. He gave him a very clear, definite, distinct answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, well, get your life straightened out. He didn't say, well, you need to stop committing these certain sins and start doing these certain good things. He didn't even say, ask for forgiveness. He gave a command. This is a command to me. This is a command to you. I love the way that this comes in the form of an imperative, a command. You're not called upon to see if Christ died for you. You're not called upon to figure out whether or not you're one of the elect. You're not called upon to figure out whether or not you've been born again. Here's the command, and your right to do so comes from this command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 4:5 says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, one thing you can't do at the same time is work and believe. You're either working or you're believing, but you're not doing them both. And he calls upon us to believe, to trust, to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the object of that faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, there's only one Lord. He is the Lord. Now, what that means is, He's the one whose will is done. He's the Lord of creation. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that created the universe, demonstrating His lordship. He's the Lord of providence. That means that He's in control of everything. Everything. There's nothing that happens without Him. He said, not a bird falleth to the ground without your heavenly Father. He's in absolute control of everything and everybody. He's everybody's Lord. So He's not my Lord. Yeah, He is. Because Scripture says He's Lord of the dead and the living. He's your Lord whether you know it or not, and you are completely in His hands. He's the Lord of providence. providence. He's controlling, he's running the show. And he's the Lord of salvation. That means your salvation is in his hand. It's up to him as to whether or not me and you will be saved. It's not up to you. Somebody says, well, don't I have a free will where I can decide to be saved? No, you don't. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And God doesn't owe you salvation. It's up to him as to whether or not you'll be saved. Now, the only safe thing to do, Lord, save me. That's what the leper did. He said, Lord, if you will, you can save me. He's the Lord. But not only is he the Lord, he's Jesus. And that's his name as Savior. Now understand this. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to condemn me and you. We were already condemned. He came to save. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Not to condemn them, they already were condemned. He came to save. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, oh, what a name. This is the name at which every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's Jesus, Savior. He delights in saving sinners. He delights in mercy. That's who he is. He's the Savior. Thank God he's the Savior, and he is the Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ is his offices in salvation. Now, in the Old Testament, there were three offices. Christ means the anointed. It's the Hebrew Messiah, the anointed. There were three different offices. The office of a prophet, the office of a priest, and the office of a king. And they were all anointed as such. And no mere man ever held all three of those offices. There's only one who holds all three of these offices, and that is the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's prophet. Now, every other prophet said, thus saith the Lord. He never said that. He said, I say unto you. He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He is the Word of God. He is the priest, but he's not like these Old Testament priests we read of who brought the blood of a slain animal that could never put away sin. He brings his own blood. He who lives brings his own blood. This is glorious. He himself is the priest. He himself is the sacrifice. And he himself is the altar upon which the sacrifice was presented. And if he represents you as your priest, you must be saved. And he is the king. He's God's king. God said, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He is God's king, and you need him as a king. The king is the one whose will is done. You need him to will your salvation, or you won't be saved. You need him to will you to believe, to be born from above, to repent. You need him in that capacity. We need him as God's prophet to bring God's word to us, as God's priest to represent us, as God's king to cause us to do his will. Believe, rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So we read in verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Now what that means is, at that time they preached the gospel to him. Preach the word. Now the word of the Lord is Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:1. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Very big book, written by 35 different men at least over a period of 1,300 years. My Bible has 1,550 some written pages. God uses the whole Bible to be called the Word of God. The Word of God is preached when, as John warned, don't take anything from it, don't subtract from it, don't add to it. If I preach a message where I've subtracted from the Word and I've not said what God said willfully to keep from offending somebody, or if I've added human works or added anything human to it, I haven't preached the Word. This man heard the Word of God preached. He heard the gospel preached. The same Word, the sower went forth to sow the Word. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. He heard a gospel message. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. He heard the Word, he received it, and his whole house was saved through hearing that message. Now, I think it's interesting. This verse is used to teach infant baptism. Show me where it says anything about infants being baptized here. It doesn't. And look what it says in verse 34. But all of his house was saved. The Lord saved them all, and we all pray for that for our house. Verse 34, and when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his heart. When he was called upon to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he believed in God with all his heart. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. If he's not, he couldn't do anything for me, he couldn't do anything for you. But he is God. That's why he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, because he is God. When the Lord told that gathering demonic in Luke chapter 8 to go home and tell his friends and family the great things God had done for him, he went home and told them the great things Jesus had done. Did he make a mistake? Absolutely not. When he told them the great things Jesus had done, he was telling them the great things God has done. You see, God was manifest in the flesh. And the reason a man can be saved in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is because of who he is. He is God manifest in the flesh, incapable of failure. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.